Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Today we begin a new 7-week series called Greater Presence. 4 years ago, the Lord spoke to us about the coming decade from 2020 to 2030. And what he had told us was that he was going to give us a word, but before that word would be the word greater. And so we've leaned in, we've fasted and prayed, all of us in the month of July, all the pastors and spouses, we went up to the mountain and we prayed and we fasted and we sought the Lord for the word that he'd have for us as a spiritual family for the coming year. And we're so excited that God speaks to us, that God doesn't always give us the full picture of what's coming and what he's doing, but he gives us enough to know that we're walking with him. And he prepares us for those things, even though we don't know all of them. And so this summer, as we sought the Lord, there was unanimous in 2023, we were going to need a greater presence of God in our lives. There's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of worry. There's a lot of wars and rumors of wars and of potential famines and difficulties. And that's hard for someone who lives in positivity to know that there could be very difficult times in front of us, right? And how do I live with the joy of the Lord knowing that there could be lots of destruction, lots of famine, lots of tough things? And the answer was a greater presence is how. And we're not to worry. Church, we're not to worry about tomorrow. And there is an unknown. But there's always been an unknown. And what we do know is that God is good, that God is on his throne, and he knows what he's doing. And he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And what we do know is that he will never leave us or forsake us. And though we may walk through the fire, as long as he is with us, we will not get burned. Amen? And so we're going to journey together in the next 7 weeks to talk about God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, and how we're to relate to them, and how we can know them better. Because that's definitely one of the most important things we do in this life, is that we know him better. And I don't know about you, but trials and tribulation, by the grace of God, have caused me not to get bitter, not to be drawn away from God, but to press into him. And I know that trials and tribulation do cause many to fall away. But if we have his presence will pull us through the trials, through the difficulties. His presence will give us the power to overcome. because we are more than overcomers. Amen? His presence marks us. His presence makes us different than everyone else in the world. And that doesn't mean we're more loved. That just means we've accepted his love. That just means we've humbled ourselves and recognized that Jesus is the only way to God, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father. No one is reconciled into the presence and relationship with God but through Jesus. And he wishes for none to die and perish, but all to come to know him. And so for those of us who have this presence, we have a responsibility. We have an opportunity. We have a privilege to share this presence, to share this love with others. We've been praying for revival most of my life in the churches that I've attended. But the one thing that I think we forget, that seemed to be the grounds or the atmosphere, the places, this periods of time where revival breaks out, it's in times of great difficulty. And so maybe the mercy and the grace of God is that God would allow the enemy to shake everything in the world and in our lives that can be shaken, so that what will remain is what cannot be shaken. And so we have great hope, because our hope is in Jesus, not in our circumstances, not in what could come, but we fix our eyes on what is good and what is lovely and what is pure. And that's not on the potential difficulties and challenges. Oh yes, we must listen to the Lord to know how to prepare for the future. But certainly we are not going to disobey Jesus and worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough to worry about itself. Amen? Our worry will not and cannot change anything about the future. In fact, your worry can only hurt your future as it is hurting your present. But God has called us to live and to walk by faith. And whatever might be there in the future, whatever might be in the future is not more powerful than our God. And we certainly are not going to allow the thief in the back alley of our future rob us of our present. Amen? Because that's what the enemy does. He's a liar. He's a thief. And he's come to rob us of that presence, to rob us of our peace and our joy. But God has his angels being commanded to watch over us. And I want to just remind you, saints of God, it is never a fair fight against the enemy. We always have more for us than are against us. 2/3 of the angels are on our side, which leaves only 1/3 on their side. And not only do we have 2/3 of the angels on our side, we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of every believer. And the Bible tells us that just one of us who believes can send 1,000 of them aflight. But 2 of us together, standing together as the church, can send 10,000. And another promise is that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Those are the truths that we will live by. Those are the truths that we will believe. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's just the introduction of what's to come in this series. Today I've entitled the message in our greater presence, Fresh Anointing. Fresh Anointing. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Since I rejected him as king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be the king. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for making a way by sending your son, Jesus. And Jesus, we are forever grateful to you for laying your life down for us. And we acknowledge today, Jesus, that you are our King. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. And without you, we have no presence. You are the reason. You are the reason we have relationship with the Father. You are the reason we have relationship with you. And you are the reason we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And Holy Spirit, you will not be ignored in this church. But you will be honored. You will be worshiped. You will be listened to. You will not be grieved. But your fire and your wind and your power are welcome in this place. You are welcome in our lives. Holy Spirit, have your way today. Open our eyes and our ears to spiritual truths. Fill us to overflowing. Let our cup be overflowing today in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. 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 So this is a ram's horn. Some call a shofar. It can be blown. I'm not able to blow it very well yet. It's my first ram's horn. It's my first shofar. And I'm going to continue to practice. I'm going to continue to blow it. The ram's horn in the scriptures represents power and strength. I recognize where my strength comes from. My power comes from. It comes from him. For it's not by my might or my power, but it's by his Spirit. Yes. And so the first illustration I want to say is, do you want God to blow your horn? Do you want him to blow through your life? And today I want to just use this as just a tool to illustrate the anointing, to illustrate the presence of God. See, the ram's horn was used by the people of God in the Old Testament to carry oil. It was used as an instrument to anoint people. And Samuel had used the ram's horn and he had anointed Saul. And Samuel was grieving that he had anointed him. He was grieving. He was, I think, regretting that he'd ever anointed Saul. For Saul had disobeyed God. Saul turned to sorcery and witchcraft. Saul was a big disappointment as a king. I think Samuel wished he would have ask God, who do you choose? Who do you want? Who it's your choice? See, we many times, like the children of Israel, see things on the external. We judge things on the appearance. But God looks at the heart. See, Saul was tall and strong and handsome, kind of like me. I'm kind of like David. I'm like David. Not as tall, handsome, a heart after God. God comes to Samuel as he's mourning, and he asks the question, how long are you going to mourn? Church, how long are you going to mourn? How long are you going to live in your regret? Middle-aged men between the ages of 30 and 80. How long are you going to look to your motorcycle or your convertible or whatever else to deal with your midlife crisis that's really a crisis of regret? Listen, I've learned what it means to mourn this year. I've learned what it means to lament. And there is a time to lament. And it's important. And if you need to lament, lament. Lament. Pour it out. Pour it out. Pour out your pain. Pour out your disappointment. Pour out your regrets. Pour it out, because you need to make room for the oil of God. You need to make room for the anointing of God. You need to shed off the sackcloth and ashes so that you can be clothed, that you can be anointed with power on high. It's time to move forward, church. Okay? There is no glory days for America. Listen, I love this country. I still think it's the greatest country of the world. Okay? I believe that. Whether it is or not doesn't matter. I do believe it. But there is no going back. There's only going forward to what God has in store. And it's better than it was before. Whether this country lasts or not does not matter, because what matters is the kingdom of God that will last forever. Amen. But regret just, it's all over. It's all around. This regret is overcoming people to kill themselves. This regret is what people are trying to medicate the pain. And God has a solution to that. God has a solution to it. It's Jesus, and Jesus helping you lament it, to cry it out, to pour it out, going, God, this is so hard. And just confess it to him. Confess, God, this isn't where I thought I'd be at this point in my life. And it hurts. And pour it out. Cry it out. Because you got to make room. You got to make room. You got to take that yoke off. You got to take it off. You got to bust out of the sackcloth and ashes. Because God has an anointing for you. He has a future for you. And you can't walk in that with mourning. There is a season for mourning. And I give you permission if you need to mourn. And you might need to mourn again tomorrow. But every single day, you can't live in mourning. You can't go forward in mourning. You must clothe yourself. You must anoint yourself. And so God says, Saul or Samuel, how long? Come on, get up. Church, it's time for us to get up, to rise up and be the men and women of God he's called us to. God has called us to more than just survive. He's called us to thrive. He's called us to soar, but not in our own strength, not in our own wisdom, not in our own abilities. And listen, there are things you can do to build organizations and companies and churches. But if we don't have his presence, what do we have?
That's right.
What do we have? It's nothing. Moses, he recognized this in Exodus 33. He's having a conversation with God. And how God says, I'm with you, Moses. I'm with you. But these people, these grumblers and complainers, these mourners, they were mourners. They're mourning. What was? They regret being rescued out of slavery. And they're mourning. They're regretting ever letting God rescue them out of slavery. God doesn't take mourners into the promised land. Listen, there's a season to mourn. There's a season lamenting. You know it. You've heard my message on that. If not, go listen to it. Lament. It's good. But there's a moment you got to get up. And Moses recognized, God, if you don't go with us, if you don't go with us, how will we be any different than the world? Listen, what good is a large church and congregation and meeting and teachings of the Bible if the Holy Spirit's not welcome there? If the Holy Spirit's not in the midst of it? Can it save you? No.
So good.
Yes. It's spirit and truth that changes people. It's not just truth. It's spirit. It's his presence. So many are going on with religious activities and they don't even recognize that God is not with them. And before you too quickly try to judge others, make sure you examine yourself. Humble yourself on a regular basis. And Lord, God, tell me you're with me. Tell me I'm not missing it. Tell me, God, that you're not going to leave me. God, tell me. Tell me that I'm not going to be one during the great falling away that falls away. Because there will be a great falling away. And I don't want there to be, but the Bible says it. But I don't want to be one of those that falls away. And how are you not going to fall away? It's not going to be because of your intellect. It's not going to be because you know the scriptures here. You must know them here. And there is a great falling away, pastors and leaders and congregants. You should, like Peter, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is what Peter said. Pastor, come on, man, you're kind of scaring me. I'm sorry. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You will not make it. I will not make it without God's anointing. Without his presence. David knew there was a time to mourn and there was a time to get up and get anointed. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and when he had requested, they set food before him, and he ate. David's son was dying. And David lamented, not for the loss of his son, but for the healing and saving of his son, which we know that lamenting is a prayer as well as it is a tool to release the pain of the past. But a lament is also a weapon to pray for today and for the future. See, lamenting is a prayer. Lamenting is a prayer to God. A prayer of, God, remove this pain. Remove this pain out of me. Let it process. I don't want to carry it. I don't want it to be in me anymore. I want it out. I'm getting it out. I want it off. And lamenting is also a prayer that, God, move on the injustices. Move on those that are hurting. It's a lament. God, save my children. Bring back the prodigals. Lamenting can have oftentimes tears. And what I know now more than ever, that my tears and your tears are precious to Jesus. They're precious to your Father. And I believe they're powerful. Tears carry an energy, a frequency. They carry an emotion. They carry something. It took this moving in your soul and mind to produce those tears. Capture them and give them to Jesus. Like the woman in the Bible who broke her bottle of tears over Jesus. Worship him with your tears. But David's lamenting that God might have mercy and heal and save his son. And then when they came and saw David, they're like, I'm not telling them his son's dead. But David recognized they were there to tell him his son was dead. And in that moment, David got up, washed himself, removed, in essence, the sackcloth and ashes, and he anointed himself, and he got something to eat, because it was over. But what wasn't over was the future. Church, we can't live in the past with its failures and the regrets. We must move forward and remember the promise of God, that God can and will work all things out for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purposes. Church, we march forward in faith, but not in our own strength. Not in our own strength. And before we move forward, we must unload the past. We must release the past. We must lament it if necessary, okay? We must let go of our sin, okay? We've got to lighten this load. He has made a way for us to have a clean conscience, to not have guilt and condemnation and shame. You can't move forward with that. Jesus knew that. Jesus went to Peter, and this is how good and loving our shepherd Jesus is. Even Peter, after seeing the resurrected Jesus, after being born again, Peter went back to his past way of life. He went back to cope with the regret. He went fishing. Not fishing for men, which is what God called him to, but back to fishing for fish. And how many of us have gone back to things that we used to cope with life with regrets? How many of us have gone fishing with the way we used to do things? So did Peter. But here's the good news. Whatever you're fishing in, Jesus is at the shore. And he's got something prepared for you. He's cooking something for you. But it's your choice. Are you going to stay in the boat with its regrets and mistakes? Or are you going to clothe yourself? It's interesting, the language there says that he put his garment on. He clothed himself. And he swam to Jesus. God wants us to clothe ourselves with righteousness, clothe ourselves with his presence, and come to him. The Bible tells us to boldly come into his presence, into his throne room of grace, where we will find mercy and grace. Mercy for the mistakes and the failures and the regrets, and grace to move forward. How long are you going to mourn? I had to mourn some things that I thought was so great about this country. And I still think, as I said, I still think this, with all of its warts and mistakes, it's still the greatest. But the value I put in this country compared to the value I put in the kingdom of God pales. I'm loyal to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords above everything else. I do not put my hope in the systems of this world, in the kingdoms of this world, for they are fading and will all pass away. So even as we come into another election, our hope is not in who we're voting for. So stop it. Stop getting so worked up. Vote. And vote for who God tells you to vote for. And double check that with the Bible. Because you know this, as a Christian, your vote's not yours. Because your life's not yours. So you don't get to vote for who you want to vote for. You vote for who God tells you to vote for. And don't judge somebody else who's voting for somebody else. God will work that out. What we will not do is we will not let things of this world divide us. His presence. It's real. So as we come back to my ram's horn, it would appear that you would put this end of the horn in to scoop up the oil. It'd appear that you'd cork this side until you got to the place that you were going to let the oil flow. The anointing of God can be a messy thing. The word anoint means to smear. It's a humbling thing, actually. Yeah. Ladies, it's going to mess up your hair. But Jesus messes us up so good.
Come on.
Every day, we have the opportunity as Christians to scoop up out of the well that is found right here. For the scripture tells us, in fact, let's just even turn there in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." So when you gave your heart, when you gave your life to Jesus, when you said, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life, when you said, Jesus, I need you as my Savior, and I receive you as my Lord, in that moment, the greatest miracle that will ever take place in your life happened, and you became a new creation. And God breathed, he ruha, his life, his spirit inside of you, just like he breathed life into Adam, just like Jesus breathed upon the disciples on the night of the resurrection, you were born again. And he deposited the Holy Spirit. You became a well. You became a place where rivers of living water could flow. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But he doesn't want, and you cannot live on the deposit. But you must stir up the well. You must stir it up. You must dig down and lift it up. You must prime the pump every single day. You need a fresh anointing. You need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul said this, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. And let me tell you something. There is a liberty. I'm not saying that it's a sin to drink unless God says you shouldn't. If God tells you, like he's told me, you're not drinking, then if you drink, it's sin. And here's the thing. If Jesus is Lord of your life, it's not your choice whether you get to drink or not. It's his. So ask him, because there is pastor after pastor, because somewhere a decade or two ago, it just became super cool for pastors to go out and drink together. Unfortunately, I don't think those pastors asked Jesus if that was a good idea, because pastor after pastor is fouling out thanks to drinking too much. You go, well, drinking's not a sin. Okay, fine. Is drinking beneficial? How is it benefiting your life? Because it's not about, is it permissible? It's about, is it beneficial? Why don't we ever ask that? Well, I'm just allowed to, Pastor. Jesus drank. Yeah, you ain't Jesus. Jesus was never drunk. And most likely the wine he drank took gallons to get drunk. Most likely. Again, I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying you need to ask. What the Bible is very clear at is you can't get drunk. But is it beneficial, all the money you're spending? Look, if you have a little tummy ache, drink a little bit. I guess Paul said, Timothy, drink a little for your tummy ache. Because Timothy didn't drink. And Paul said, hey, drink a little bit, a little bit. A little bit. That's what it said. A little bit. Not a bottle. Not two. Because one drink leads to two. I'll tell you, if I was a drinker, there are seasons of ministry that I'm pretty sure I would have got drunk. I'm just being real. Because two drinks, that was good. But there were days that, oh man, I need three bottles. But he doesn't want me running to bottles. He wants me running to him. Listen, everything in the world is counterfeit. And I just again want to ask you, there's liberty. There is liberty. But what's not is Jesus is Lord of your life. You need to ask him, is this okay? Should I be spending my kids' college education drinking? It's a lot of money. I'm just asking you, is your alcohol drinking beneficial in your life? Why don't we ask that? Instead of, I've got the liberty, Pastor, and I am. Mm. Hey, cool. Do it by faith. Do it by faith. You have freedom. I'm not taking that freedom away. I'm just challenging you to go, how's that working for you? Where will you get your strength? Are you going to take it down into the well that's inside of you? Pour it out? Let it drip all over you, unashamed of the gospel. I'm unashamed that I'm nothing. I can do nothing good. I am a weakling. I am wretched and pitiful without the anointing. I'm so grateful that I'm not talented enough to get up here and preach and teach the Bible apart from the anointing. Unashamed to say it, I'm just not that good. And there are times that I'm more anointed than others. But without the anointing, it's a train wreck. The church, without the anointing, how are we any different than the world? So we're gonna press into his presence. We're gonna press in to soaking in the presence of God, to be covered, to be clothed with power on high. Okay, even after the disciples were born again, Jesus said, do not leave. Don't go out there into the world until you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay? Don't go out, church. It's a scary place. It's a dangerous place, that world is. Don't go out there in your own strength. You're going to get beaten up, chewed up, and spit out. But when you're anointed and when you've been set on fire, oh, you're more than a conqueror, and the enemy lives underneath your feet, okay? And the fiery darts of the enemy cannot touch you. And if you get knocked down, the anointing will lift you up.
This is a prophetic Sunday. I thought I missed it during worship, but I didn't. Thank you, Jesus. I had no idea what he was preaching about, but I want to tell you today, my friends, this is an opportunity, and I don't want you to feel any pressure to do what I'm going to ask you to do. If the Lord is speaking to you, then you need to do it. But today, what he's asking is a prophetic act for us to say yes to. And I wish I had pants on and not a dress. But I'm going to tell you, this past week, the Lord woke me up. I don't know why he likes to speak in the middle of the night. I don't know why he doesn't like to speak at 3 in the afternoon instead of 3 in the morning. But he does. So a handful of days ago, he woke me up at 3 a.m. and he told me, he said, you need to mourn. He said, Julie, you've abdicated some things and it was sin and you need to repent. And I did. And for an hour in the middle of the night, I repented. Condemnation tried to come on me and I refused it. I woke him up and he prayed over me as well. And I will not walk and I am not in that condemnation. But what the Lord said is today it's newness of life. Romans 6. There's newness of life. There's an opportunity for fresh anointing. It's an opportunity to say no to whatever has tried to attach itself, no to whatever's trying to get on you, no to whatever sin you said yes to, whatever it is. And he's saying, step into newness of life. Step. Take a step. That's the prophetic act. It's a step into yes. The old is gone and there's a newness of life. And it's starting today.
Come on.
With this series.
Come on.
I know by the Spirit of God. So if you want to say yes, I want you to stand up. And we're going to do a prophetic act. And please don't feel pressure if this isn't you. But if it is, if you are hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit of the living God, we are going to shed the things that have held, tried to hold us back, pull us back, held on to us, and by faith,
come on,
we are going to take that step into newness of life, and those old things are going to be shed, and there's a newness of life and life and a freshness of anointing and power, my friends, my family, that we're going to walk into and we're going to receive. Amen?
Amen.
So are you ready?
Yes.
Let's all just look crazy together. Get ready to lift up that leg. So Father, in the name of Jesus,
Jesus,
we say yes,
yes,
to the shedding of the old.
Shedding of the old.
And a yes to the newness of life.
Yes to the newness of life.
And by faith right now.
By faith.
We take a step. Lift up your leg.
Take
and take
a step forward.
In the name of
yes.
Jesus. Into that
Moving
newness
forward,
of
Lord.
Life. Yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Say yes.
Glory.
Newness of life.
Thank you, Lord.
Newness
you,
of
God.
Anointing.
Yes.
Newness of power.
Yes.
More Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
More of you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Psalm 133 says, when brothers and sisters, when we dwell together in unity, the result is the anointing. The result is the commanded blessing. See, when we say, God, I want more of you, and theologians try to correct us and say, well, you can't have more. Like you, it's not like you can have a fraction of Jesus. They miss the whole point. Their pride and arrogance of thinking they have everything. It's all a mental ascent. When we say we want more, we're saying we need to be filled again.
Yes.
When we say more, we say, I want to know you more, God.
Yes.
I want to be one with you like you are one with the Father. I mean, what arrogance. We must walk humbly that we can't do this, and I don't want to do this alone. But when we do it together, church, the anointing is greater.
Yes.
There's a commanded blessing versus just a blessing. And there's a difference. There's a difference from being blessed and having the commanded blessing of God on your life. So please dive in. Make it. If you can't be here, join us online like you're joining us online. But prepare. Come that Sunday night, the 30th, when we worship, we have that worship night. Come to listen to God in this series, these 21 days. Please prepare to do those 21 days with us. Okay? Do it with us. Whether you're a member yet or not, join us. Okay? Join us as we go on this 21-day journey together. And don't wait until those 21 days to spend time with Jesus. Okay? To get in your devotion. To get your ram's horn out and put it in the oil and pour it over you. Maybe some of you need to go and order yourself a ram's horn. Okay? Or just get a bottle of olive oil, stand in your shower, and pour it over yourself as an act of faith of, God, I need your anointing. I need your anointing. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.